everyone. I'm your host, Brianna James, and you're listening to Mediated Culture. Today, we're going to talk about one of the least diverse professions in the nation. A lot of people may know that lawyers strive and push for equality, but maybe it's time that they look at themselves in the mirror and evaluate why they are one of the top least diversified professions in the nation. All right, so many people, including myself, are surprised by the fact that law is lacking so much diversity. And because people are so unaware, nothing is really being done to fix the issue. So that's what the main problem is kind of coming from, that many people don't even know that there is a problem. There are many top public figures, such as the three women in the Supreme Court, Loretta Lynch as the second African-American Attorney General, and then we have our former President and First Lady, Barack and Michelle Obama, who are both very successful in the law profession. All the people I just mentioned are very successful and represent diversity at high levels in the law profession. Even though there are some positive examples, the statistics tell a different story. The Washington Post reported that 88% of lawyers are white, and minorities only make up 7% of law firm partners. What's even more troubling is that many lawyers believe barriers are broken and the only thing holding practicing lawyers back are based on their personal reasons such as their capabilities, commitment, and choices. Deborah Rode is a Stanford Law School professor and also the author of her book, The Trouble with Lawyers. Here's a clip of what she had to say about the diversity in law.
It's an irony that the profession that's been leading the struggle to equalize the playing field in most of Americans' workplaces has done such a poor job in its own. Law is the least diverse profession. And people of color are at the bottom of the social and economic hierarchy.
In today's episode of Mediated Culture, we will talk about the lack of women and minorities in law and their lack of presence in top positions at law firms. Then we'll try to dig deeper as to why women and minorities struggle to reach the top. Here's another clip of Deborah Rowe talking about the lack of diversity of women.
Women, although they're over half of entering law students in many law schools and comprise about a third of the profession, are only 17% of the equity partners in large law firms, and they are less than 10% of managing partners and only about a fifth of Fortune 500 general counsel.
If women make up over half of law students, why are they so underrepresented in top positions? Part of the problem can be explained by structural gender inequality. Structural gender inequality starts with the gender roles that society constructed for man and woman. Traditionally, men are supposed to be the providers and women are the caregivers. Men have always been primarily in power holding positions, and therefore society is structured for their benefit. Gender roles are more mixed up today than they were in the past, but they still exist. Women struggle to balance disproportionate family responsibilities in a work environment that's very demanding and requires a lot of immediate attention. Law firms should be more aware of this issue and allow more part-time and less demanding positions that don't devalue the woman at the same time. But the disproportionate family responsibilities isn't the only issue. Even for the women that work long hours and don't take time off, they're less likely to hold a position of partnership compared to men.
You can't account for the difference in women's promotion to partnership by any objective measures. So something else is going on. And there's been a cottage industry of research on the prevalence of unconscious bias, sometimes called implicit bias, in the culture generally. And there's no reason to think that law firms are an exception. As one managing partner put it, well, we do a lot of programs on the subject, but I'm not sure women have time to attend. They need to do more than programs. They need to make part-time tracks and reduce schedules workable and not indications of second-class status and diminished responsibility. They also need to look at the distribution of professional opportunities. Not all of women's underrepresentation at the partnership level can be attributed to the work family. conflicts. Some of it has to do with exclusion from the old boys network, from the informal networks of career development and client development that are necessary for professional success.
The unconscious bias in men automatically puts women with children in a box. Even if the mother works full-time, she is seen as less committed and available. However, this same assumption doesn't extend to fathers. Men are not less valued just because they have children. There's also an unconscious bias that puts women in two separate categories. They're either labeled as too feminine or not feminine enough. If they're labeled as too feminine, it's assumed that they're not tough enough to handle hard decisions. But if they're labeled as not feminine enough, it's assumed that they're too arrogant to earn respect. Women are held to double standards and are in a lose-lose situation here. Minorities are also very underrepresented. As Rhode explains,
Figures for minorities are even bleaker, with the numbers of equity partners hovering around, I think it's about 3%.
Minorities make up one-third of the population and one-fifth of law school graduates, but they make up fewer than 7% of law firm partners. Systemic racism explains why so many minorities struggle to reach higher positions. White men hold the power, and many have the unconscious bias towards minorities. A study conducted by Nexion, a leading consulting firm, sent a memo to 22 law firms and asked them to participate in a writing analysis study. The memo was purposely made with errors both factual and grammatical, and half of the firms were told it was written by a white male, and the other half was told it was written by a black male. The reviewers gave a 4.1 rating out of 5 for the white male, and said that he has great potential and good analytical skills. The rating for the black male was a 3.2 out of 5, and he was told that his work was average and needs a lot of work. The reviewers were given the same exact memo, but one was valued as higher quality because it was written by a white male instead of a black male. There's also the networking issue for minorities that Rhodes spoke about earlier when explaining the inequalities that women face. Women and minorities are often left out of networking, both formal and informal, which is a critical component to advance in the legal field. The American Bar Association did a research and found that 62% of women of color and 60% of white women felt excluded from formal and informal networking opportunities, while only 4% of white males said they felt excluded. White males have an undeniable privilege in this case that opens up more opportunities to them to advance in the legal world. Now that we know that there's a problem and have some explanation as to why this problem exists, what do we do about the lack of diversity?
It's not rocket science what you need to do. You need to really make sure that career development opportunities are evenly distributed. And it's still true that women and minorities lack the presumption of competence that's enjoyed by white men. You have to break down those patterns of unconscious bias and make sure that you're distributing opportunities for professional growth equally, and that you're looking for ways to involve women and diversity in management responsibilities within the firm.
In order for there to be an increase in diversity, to make the legal profession more inclusive on all levels, opportunities need to be made available, and efforts need to be made to eliminate unconscious bias. It may be uncomfortable, but people need to accept that they do have unconscious biases that they need to be aware of. Firms need to not only preach for diversity, but practice it and hold individuals accountable. Because at the end of the day, lawyers supply our lawmakers, presidents, governors, prosecutors, and it's vital that they truly represent the population. Well, that's all for today. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I'm your host, Brianna, and this is Mediated Culture.